Graham.
Welcome to Street Knowledge, Chris Graham and Scott German, and we are talking UVA football. And boy, we have a lot to get into here. Game with UNC this weekend. The 4-1 Cavs are actually favorites heading into this road game in Chapel Hill. We haven't recapped last week's game yet either, though. Virginia with that big ACC schedule opening win over Duke. Scott, you were there. Well, your first impressions, and now, not first impressions, I guess your impressions now, having let the game sink in for a few days, of what you saw there, another big win for this Virginia football team.
Absolutely, and I believe, you know, it's kind of proven us to be maybe some wise beyond their years. We've been preaching about confidence, and the players expecting good things to happen, expecting to win, and instead of waiting for something bad to happen, some penalties, too many men on the field, having to call a timeout because they couldn't get a play in. I mean, those kinds of things are just now seemingly are being erased. And we talked about it last week, that Boise State win. Man, what a confidence builder that was. It proved out to be. And so be it against Duke. The players just really seem to be buying into Coach Mendenhall's system. And, you can downplay that if you want. But these are the same group of players that won two games last year that got the previous coach fired. So something must be happening a little different. There must be a different mindset. And I really believe 100% that it's surely all starts with the confidence factor in the players.
Confidence in players, and then you and I talked after the game. I didn't get to go to the game. I was doing work with VMI, as I do a lot of Saturdays during the season. But you told me when I got to watch the replay, watch for the in-game adjustments. Virginia first quarter offensively really struggling to move the ball. But what they did, especially second quarter, but then second half, the adjustments made by the coaching staff offensively really unleashed that offense. And I would say that adjustments made, after week two have really helped this offense along. But, as you said, this is the same group of guys that won two games last year, got their coach fired. And the coaches deserve some credit here, too, because they're putting the guys in the right places.
And, early on in that game against Duke, Blue Devils were definitely controlling the way things went up front. I mean, that offensive line play, Duke was winning that line battle play after play on both sides of the ball. And, from the press box, it didn't take a football guru to look and see that Virginia was just getting whipped at the line of scrimmage. And they somehow still managed to keep the game close. And we talked up in the press box, man, if they don't make some adjustments at halftime, this thing could get ugly. Well, they didn't wait till halftime. Mendenhall made some noticeable adjustments sometime maybe late in the first quarter, early in the second, and just things started happening differently. Benkert all of a sudden had time. The running game got open. The running game got going. The holes seemed to be opening up a little bit better. Those are adjustments that have to be made in-game. Now, we haven't seen a lot of that lately at UVA football. We haven't been privy to those kinds of, coaching decisions, coaching strategies that can win football games or lose football games. But, they're happening now. There's no denying that. You can see it, not just at the end result, but you can see it as the game is played out.
And sort of a microcosm of this season, that those adjustments in that Duke game. I wrote a column on Monday, and I encourage everyone to take a glimpse. I ran some numbers of just in season this year. What happened was a reader asked me on Twitter, "Hey Chris, you thought this team would win one game this year. What's been the key? What's been the difference?" And, you know, I will point out, yeah, I said one win. I wasn't the only person by far who picked Virginia to finish last in the Coastal Division. I scanned all the writers who voted in the ACC kickoff, all the guys who cover UVA football. All of us had Virginia finishing seventh in the Coastal Division. But I think the difference that none of us foresaw was the offensive line play. And I would even say from game one, game two, to games three, four, and five, the offensive line play has been so vastly different from those first two games to the last three games, to a point where Coach Robert Anae, offensive coordinator, has felt empowered to be able to use his run game more. In those first two games, Virginia passed on about 70% of their offensive snaps. Since then, it's been about a 50-50 ratio. First two games, Virginia ran, averaged 2.6 yards per carry on the ground. Since then, averaging 4.3 yards per carry on the ground. What that's done is it's allowed Kurt Binkert to have more time to throw the ball. He's averaged 303 yards per game, to be exact. Passing in the last three games, his completion percentage is 65%. He's had his two highest passer rating games in his UVA career in the past three games. And so, and as a result, you've also seen the defense be a lot more efficient because they're not on the field as much. So, you know, in-game adjustments against Duke, but also in-season adjustments, nothing that any of us foresaw, but really offensive line has been so key to this team, you know, being able to run the ball better, being able to pass the ball better. And that's why I think you're seeing the results you're seeing out of this Virginia football team.
There's no doubt about it. I agree 100%. And you know, having watched the team play either in person or on TV every game this season, especially when you're at the stadium and you can look across the line and see the matchups, and no one's going to confuse this Virginia offensive line with the Hogs of the Washington Redskins of the 70s and 80s. I mean, these guys are not super, I mean, they're not small, but they certainly aren't mammoth offensive linemen. So they're getting the job done on technique, on schemes, and desire and confidence. And so, you know, Coach Mendenhall is getting an A, as far as I'm concerned, for the first five games, is being able to make adjustments on the fly and get the most out of this, again, not to be bashing on the previous coaching regime, but get the most out of a bunch of players that got the previous coach his walking papers.
Oh, it's okay to bash the previous regime. That's Mike London's regime. We've done plenty of that, but maybe it's just beating a dead horse. Defensively, too, now, you know, this group going into the season, two preseason second-team All-Americans and Micah Kaiser, inside linebacker, Quinn Blanding, the free safety. And so you expected this defense would have to be better than it was last year. Of course, those guys were coming off last year's defense, which gave up 446 yards a game. This year, vast improvement, 326 yards per game through five games, giving up 21 points a game, giving up 4.8 yards of play. These are all numbers that are at the upper echelon of the ACC, which is, as we know, a conference that has the defending national champion in it. Defensively, this Virginia team has been as stout as we've ever seen. And, Scott, you talk about when you're in the stadium looking across at the offensive line and they're not as big, but they're still clearing those holes. What I've noticed defensively out of this team is last year it seemed like the guys were out there. They were sort of – it's kind of like I use the analogy of learning how to ride a bike and then riding a bike. Last year they were still learning how to ride the bike. They were still trying to keep themselves balanced. They were still trying to learn what the pedals do, how the brakes work, and try not to fall down. And you saw them. They were slow to the ball. They were slow to figure out coverages and that kind of thing. This year, the light just seems to have gone off. And these very talented, athletic defensive players, they're not thinking anymore. They're not thinking about using that riding a bike analogy. They're not thinking about keeping the bike balanced and how do the different parts of the bike work. They're thinking about how fast they can go now. And I think that's a great analogy because they're flying to the ball. They're breaking up passes. They're forcing turnovers, getting in the quarterback's face. And it's what you want out of a defense, but they finally seem to get what Bronco, who is the defensive coordinator, they finally seem to get what he wants them to do defensively, and they're just out there flying around and doing what they need to do.
One more little sidebar to that analogy of learning how to ride a bike. as compared to last year. They're learning how to ride the bike, but this year they're not quite they're not as afraid as to what's going to happen if they fall off.
Uh-huh.
They're going to get back up on one, and they're going to go and keep at it. I think that's just confident. That's having belief in your head coach. And for some reason, it needed 12 games. It needed an ugly 2-10 record. It may have needed the cleansing of the program. A lot of players aren't there. You know, you look at the rosters. Don't have to name names, but a lot of players didn't believe that they could play under Bronco, so they're gone. And players that are there now are obviously the players that believe in him, that feel as though they are learning something out there. And I think that's a lot. That has a lot to do with why you saw both Blanding and Kaiser return. But they could have easily walked away and maybe been second, third, fourth round draft picks. Something. They saw something in Coach Mendenhall that told them, hey, we need to stick around because this guy, this coaching staff, knows what they're doing. They'll make us better players. We need to invest one more year in ourselves.
I was going to bring up one thing, too, that you and I were talking about off the air in between Saturday and today, about something early in that Duke game that you noticed was, even though the call didn't work out for Virginia at the time, you thought it was there was an important play early in that ball game that you pointed out as sending a message to the team. Talk about that.
Well, and I'm going to be completely honest. I was sitting there beside our counterpart who was with me Saturday, Jeff Feist. And I was adamant that it was the dumbest play call in the history of Virginia football. They had a fourth and about a long one at midfield, their first possession of the game, and there was no hesitancy whatsoever on the Virginia sidelines. The offense stayed on the field, and they went for the first down. Came up short, and of course, you know, I'm sitting there telling everybody that would listen, told you so. But as the game went on, and then looking back on that, that was a statement from Mendenhall telling his players, hey, not only do I believe in you, but this is the kind of football team we are. He even said in his press conference on Monday, we're never going to go out there to be a lukewarm football team. We're going to be an aggressor. I'm not sure he called himself a riverboat gambler, but we're not going to be the team that's going to always take the cautionary side. And I really believe that even though that didn't work, you know what? The defense came out there, and within a minute or two later, Blanding picked off the Duke quarterback Bones and had a pick six, and the complexion of the whole game just turned on that.
You know, that sends a message to two units, really. You're telling your offense, I trust you. Go out there and get that first down. Okay, they didn't get it. You're also telling your defense, if the offense doesn't get this first down on fourth down and one, we trust you to get the stop. And so, yeah, you know, you're right. And often you don't praise a fourth and one call that way that doesn't work out and say, well, he's really sending a message. But he really did send a message to his team there that he trusts them. And I ran the numbers, you know, when we talked about that. Virginia does go for fourth downs more frequently than they did in the Mike London era. They're going for about 2.5 fourth downs per game when they were going for about 1.2 fourth downs per game in the last couple of years of the London era. And where you see that play out is, you know, one area is red zone scoring. Virginia has scored touchdowns on 12 of its 18 red zone possessions. You go for more fourth downs in the red zone, you know, you're going to roll the dice. Sometimes you're not going to score, but when you do get those fourth downs in the red zone, you want to score touchdowns. And so, you know, you're keeping possessions going longer. Also, a couple of other things, not even fourth down, looking at third down, Virginia's converting offensively 49% of their third downs. That's an otherworldly number. And defensively...
That's an ACC leading number.
ACC leading. And then defensively, 27%. The opponents are getting 27% of their third down. So, you know, Virginia's winning those key downs. They're winning third down. They're winning fourth down. And that's how you win football games because, you know, what you gain on first and second down sets up those later downs and also what you prevent your opponents from getting. But Virginia, that, you know, those two stats, I think, are as key as any as to why this Virginia football team is 4-1 right now.
Absolutely. Third down is short. The whole playbook is open to you. Second down, very critical, because I heard a term today, read a term today I like. They started using it. You pick up 3-4 yards on first down, and you're ahead of the chain.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I guess, you know, they're all important downs, but this, that second and third down, this first down certainly you want to pick up 2 or 3 yards, but a lot of times the success on third down, I guess your third down percentage, is predicated by what you've done on those other two downs. And Virginia has really put themselves in good position time after time to be successful in those third down situations. And, you know, early on in the season, Baker throwing the ball all over the place. Running game was practically non-existent. I think he threw 66 passes against Indiana. You're not going to win many games, if any, when your quarterback's stolen 60 times.
Yeah.
Usually that's a sign of desperation. And, you don't want that. But all of a sudden, the transformation is now we're just about even. It's about as balanced between a running game and an off and a passing game as you could possibly want. So yeah, all these things are predicated by the down situation and what you can do on what you can do, what kind of play calls you can make on certain down.
We got about 4 or 5 minutes left. We're trying to get this one in real quick this week. Normally, we'll talk at length. But North Carolina on Saturday, Carolina 1-5 on the season, coming off a pair of blowout losses at Georgia Tech, at home against Notre Dame. The Heels are giving up 470-plus yards per game defensively. Offensively, they're sputtering, gaining 370-plus. And this is a Carolina team that has dealt with a lot of injuries. We ran on the Augusta Free Press website Larry Fedora's weekly press conference transcript and talking about a number of injuries to his team, quarterback play not been consistent. But, Scott, when you and I were talking about this before we got on the air here, they're still North Carolina, they're still at home, and they still got a lot of talent out there. They may not have a lot to play for, but Virginia's going to be in town. We can expect Carolina's best shot, I presume.
If you look at their remaining schedule, they've already played Duke. They're 1-4. This would put them 1-5 pretty much effectively. End any postseason bowl game hopes that they might have, because if 1-5 doesn't take a rocket science to see that they'd have to win five out of their they're 1-5 now, correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So that would be 1-6. They'd have to win out five out of their last six to be bowl eligible. So this is kind of like their Super Bowl, and you know it's the oldest rivalry in the South, so you know it's going to be a hard-fought game. Carolina's, you know, they're back from last year's playing. He started Monday night for the Chicago Bears, so obviously they're missing some key components, but I don't buy into any of that because I've seen these two teams play too many times to know that they're going to get North Carolina's best shot on Saturday. You can mark that down, and I'm sure that being overconfident is not going to be a factor for UVA. I'm confident that Mendenhall is going to have that thought erased. He probably already has. So it's going to be a drag them out game, and a game that Virginia is certainly capable of winning.
So 3:30 kickoff on Saturday. Scott and I are not going down to Chapel Hill this weekend. We sometimes make these road trips, but we'll be vlogging, though, from the comfy confines of our homes in Virginia. Join us on Augusta Free Press on that live blog, 3:30 on Saturday, and then Scott and I will do a recap podcast after the game Saturday evening, and we'll let you know what we think about the game as far as that goes. And so a lot to look forward to as far as that. More thoughts as well leading up to the game. We'll have you all ready for UVA in North Carolina on Saturday. And I'll throw in a real quick plug, UVA Basketball Media Day coming up on Monday. So we'll have some thought to basketball. And Scott, it's interesting, you know, normally by this point, UVA sports fans are already thinking about basketball Oh, by the way, basketball season's a month. The tip-off's actually less than a month away from today. So we haven't put a lot of thought into what this basketball season is going to be like because the football team is taking too much of our attention away.
We talked off the air, I believe, yesterday. By this time of year, when media day is right around the corner, in this case next week, UVA basketball is generally what talks most of us back off the window ledge because we have hope when the football season is long since, hopes have long since gone out the window. So, yeah, a lot. You know, it's going to be an exciting basketball season, but for the time being, we're just going to have to let Coach Bennett take care of that and pick them up in a month or so.
That's right. That's right. So UVA football got our attention. Basketball will next week. But for now, we're going to sign off. For Scott German, I'm Chris Graham. Thank you for listening.